Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Let's head out to the guest line right now. We welcome in our CBS Sports NFL insider. And that, of course, is our main man in Jason Lockenfora. JLC, happy football week one. How you been?
I'm good. Yeah, happy week one. It is. It's go time. Been a long off season, as they always are. But this should be a lot of fun. And hopefully, COVID doesn't derail us too much in terms of availability of fans and availability of coaches and availability of players.
I did see Tom Brady last week said he thinks COVID's going to be more of a factor this year compared to last year with how much more freedoms and how things are opening up around the country now. Do you agree with that? Because I hate to say it, but I kind of feel like COVID's going to be a bigger issue this year in the NFL than it was last year.
Oh, geez. I don't know how to quantify it. I just know it's not, this idea that we're beyond it or past it or out of the woods or, I certainly don't think that's the case. And as these rosters continue to evolve, it's constant sport of churn and you're constantly bringing people from the inside, from the outside and you just need, people talk about 53-man rosters. Go look how many people it takes to get through an NFL season. It's a whole hell of a lot more than 53. And now you've added a week to it. So, yeah, I think certain weeks it will be a major storyline. Hopefully not every week, but the composition of some of these rosters. And, I think I'm surprised they're not testing every day. Maybe at some point they get back to that. But we know enough about this thing to know we don't know it all. That things continue to change and evolve, and that while it makes all the sense in the world for people, and NFL players in particular, to get vaccinated unless there is a serious medical reason not to, even with full vaccinations, there's breakthrough cases and close contacts, et cetera. So we shall see.
I'll tell you this. Last year, I don't think they didn't end up forfeiting a game. This year, that is a possibility. Is the NFL going to do things if there's a lot of cases on one team to try to move that game, or is it definitely what the memo says if that was because of an unvaccinated player or unvaccinated staff member, however that is, then that game will be forfeited?
They're not going to move heaven and earth like last year. They're not. Certainly not with the frequency that they did a year ago. We know more about this now. We know ways to protect ourselves. They have built two tiers of guidelines and requirements and restrictions as to your vaccination status. That's by design. That wasn't an accident. So if you don't have it handled and under control in your building, and if you don't have the numbers where they need to be to put yourself in a position to put the roster together in a competitive way, that's on you. That's on your coaches. That's on your players.
Jason Lockenfora here with us. The Cowboys kick off their season Thursday up against the defending Super Bowl champs. JLC, everyone's saying from the organization that Dak is fine. How healthy is Dak Prescott actually?
Well, look, I mean, he's obviously cleared to play, but there's these are not ideal circumstances. He's going to have to be playing through some stuff mentally along the way. No one got sort of the base under them as a evolving offense that they would have wanted to this summer. Even, it looks on paper, you're like, well, this is a good scenario for Prescott. I mean, they got more preseason games than everybody except for the Steelers, and they get the time in Oxnard plus plenty of time at the Star, and he, from a meaningful rep standpoint, gets nothing. And it's a shoulder, he's a thrower, so that can be exacerbated. That's not ideal, and he's already coming back from the ankle. So I don't think they just hit the ground running and it's like this, you know, unstoppable force. And the offensive line has gotten a little long in the tooth. It's not what it was 3-4 years ago, and there's already COVID issues there. So I think they're running into a buzzsaw Thursday night. You look at Tampa and them getting the defensive line, you know, all the way back. And you know, I think about Tom Brady. And remember, like, the first 3 months of last season, and it's like, what's wrong with the Bucs in prime time? You know, what's wrong? Every time Tampa's on a big stage, like, weird stuff's happening, and they're blowing these games, and they're having slow starts. I don't think you got to worry about that Thursday night. Not against this defense.
JLC, Jason LaCafora here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. This is Rodgers' final season in Green Bay, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What would have to happen for him to stay? They have to win the Super Bowl?
I mean, it would have to be such a magic carpet ride that, you know, everything that he's been harboring in his heart and in his soul and in his mind for quite some time now just evaporates. And I don't know. I don't think that's going to be the case. I mean, it would take a pretty unique set of circumstances for this to be let bygones be bygones and for them to be willing to sit Jordan Love for another year. I mean, they negotiated this whole exit plan for a reason. I mean, this is the last dance. And, yeah, I mean, if they want a Lombardi, I guess anything's possible. But the bar will be set pretty high, and I would be really shocked if you see Aaron Rodgers in a Packers uniform under any circumstances in 2022.
If we had to simulate this entire regular season, depending on what your thoughts are with the Seattle Seahawks, what type of mood? How will Russell Wilson feel about the Seahawks after this season?
After the season, I think it's going to have a lot to do with. You know, what are the lines of communications like? What is the play calling like? What is the evolution of the scheme like? What are the protection schemes like? What are they doing in close and late situations? Is it run the ball more, or, you know, is it scheme things up for Russ? There's just so many variables there. Them keeping Dwayne Brown and getting him happy enough to come back in the building was obviously huge, and Russ had been campaigning for that, but it's just so, I mean, there's so much football that's going to be played. There's so many ebbs and flows and ups and downs to a football season. But, like, is he going to get to January and feel like he's been through, you know, a 20-round prize fight? Or is he going to feel a little bit refreshed? Is he going to need some sort of cleanup on the ankle and the knee and something else? Or is this going to be the year where he's been hit the least? And, you know, I don't know, you know, how all that's going to unfold. But if it feels physically and mentally like it did last year in January, February, March, April, May, then, you know, could this be the Seahawks and Russell Wilson at a similar spot to where Matt Stafford and the Lions were this past February?
Jason,
I wouldn't rule it out.
Jason LaCafora here with us. Continue, I guess, on contract situations. How about T.J. Watt with the Steelers? What's the latest there?
Yeah, I mean, look, I know that there have been reports that some things are imminent or that it's close. That's just not the sense I've gotten. There's been open lines of communication, and I think the Steelers understand, you know, that this is a $25 million a year player, and they're willing to go there, but what is the structure? What are the full guarantees? What is the payment schedule of those guarantees? How much is deferred? How much is delayed? How much is up front? You know, they've got issues with the cap. And they also have their own organizational deadline, which is they have never, for coaches or players, talked extensions in season. And that's a Rooney family edict, and it goes back a long, long time. And not sure that's changing for this. Deadlines spur actions, as we know. And when the player knows that the lump sum is as big as this lump sum is going to be, a lot of times when you get a couple of sleeps away from the start of the regular season or a sleep away from the regular season, and now they've added again a week to the season, and you know the grind and you know the toll it's going to take and you know what this game does to your mind, body, and soul, that that last sleep or that last couple of sleeps before it's go time, a lot of times that bird in hand starts to look a lot better than it did in, you know, the dog days of training camp. So we'll see. But they've got to figure some things out with the structure and the language and how these guarantees are written before we get there, and we're not there yet.
We'll see Mac go up against Tua this weekend with the Patriots and the Dolphins. What are your expectations for both those quarterbacks, JLC?
You know, I think both have a chance to be winning quarterbacks in this league. I'm sitting here working on a column now. I mean, the more you talk to people and the more you look at the Dolphins' offensive line, I just don't know about that group. I really don't. When you talk about you're making personnel changes and you're signing guys in March and they're not making your final 53, and they were projected starters when you brought them in, and that's gone on a couple of years in a row there now, that gives me pause. Two offensive coordinators. I mean, isn't that sort of like quarterbacks? If you've got two, you don't have any. I mean, two different. I don't know if this kid needs two different voices in his head. I like some of the pieces in the pass game that he has to work with him, but if you don't have time to operate, then we know that a lot of that other stuff doesn't matter. Are they going to really get the run established? So I don't know. I don't know about the Dolphins. I'm much more bullish on the Patriots than I am the Dolphins because I am buying the rebuilt defense. I'm buying that there's more bite there now. I think Matt Judon's going to be just the kind of chess piece that Bill Belichick loves. They can run the ball with a multitude of backs and a multitude of ways. I'm buying their offensive line. And there's no way their skill position group can be as bad as it was last year. They just can't. They can play with more tempo and pace with Mac Jones than they did with Cam, and that's part of the reason Cam's not there. Now, he'll make his mistakes. He's gonna turn the ball over more than he ever has before. He's going to have things thrown at him he could have never prepared for. But I do think they can be relatively balanced, and I think that's a playoff roster. If the quarterback can just manage games, then I think that's a wild card team.
What's your understanding on why Cam was cut?
He wasn't the starting quarterback, and look, he wasn't available for a critical period of time, and they made the decision that they think is best for their football team. I also don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Cam Newton's back there in some capacity at some point in time. Based on what Belichick's seeing out of the team, based on what he's seeing out of the quarterback, obviously based on any potential injury situations, I think Bill Belichick still thinks very highly of Cam Newton, and there's a lot of things about Cam Newton that he likes, but they're going to run their offense in a different way with a quarterback with some different skill sets at this stage, at this point in time, and he beat Cam out, and I think that's really that, and I understand what Bill Belichick said, but I just think across the league, you can't, especially for a backup quarterback, where your number one job is to be available, right, is to be available on a moment's notice at any point in time to help save our season, and you'll never convince me that being unavailable in a critical juncture wasn't going through people's minds as they made this decision.
So you think Cam could actually be back there if, you know, maybe injury? It's not going to be because of poor play by Mac, right?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know how it's going to go. I think the kid will be okay, but there's also been no feeding frenzy for Cam Newton. You know, he's not everybody's cup of tea. I think he still has a lot of love and respect in his heart for Bill Belichick, and I think Bill Belichick feels like they're, you know, under certain circumstances, could Cam Newton and a different style of play give us the best chance to win a particular football game or a group of games based on who's available to us right now and who we're facing? I mean, that's how they approach everything, right? I mean, they were a bombs away offense. They were a run heavy team. They ran it through running backs. They ran it through tight ends. They ran it through wide receivers. Any given week, do whatever you have to do to win. So as long as Cam Newton is a free agent and there's the potential for New England to have a quarterback need, I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility.
Talking to Jason Lockefora. Now, you host the Daily Radio Show on The Fan in Baltimore in the afternoons. Do you still view Baltimore as a Super Bowl contender even after the loss of J.K. Dobbins? And I know they brought Le'Veon Bell in the practice squad today, and we'll eventually see him on the active roster, I would imagine.
Yeah, we'll see. I think they're going to sign another running back as well, probably a younger back with more upside and more versatility and some special teams ability, because that's really where Justice Hill's value was. In terms of replacing Dobbins, nothing's changed there. I think you see Gus Edwards and Tyson Williams kind of take two guys to kind of fill that role, and Mr. Inside with Gus Edwards, Mr. Outside with Williams, who has a little more twitch and speed and burst when they want to run out of that spread formation and gut you on the outside with sprint plays. But there's so much volume in that run game that before Justice Hill went down, they needed to find somebody to put on the practice squad. Thought they'd sign two backs. I think one will be, again, younger, more upside. The other one, a veteran to just bring in case we need a guy to grind it out for a couple weeks. But, I mean, Le'Veon Bell's going to need time to get in shape. I mean, I can't imagine the other back isn't going to be someone who's already been through a camp, who's carried a decent load in that camp, you know, as a backup because the starter wasn't really playing, and who they think could, again, give them some value on special teams.
Are you a believer in the Saints this year, Jason Lockefora?
I am.
Even without not knowing what type of Michael Thomas you're going to get when he comes back?
I think they're a wild card contender. I do. Sean Payton has the ability now to open that playbook up in a way that he hasn't had in probably 2.5 seasons and attack teams in all quadrants at any given point in time. Jameis Winston hasn't had this kind of run game before. He hasn't had this kind of offensive line before. I think it's going to be solid. I mean, is it going to be spectacular? I don't know, but I think they're going to have more quick strike ability. You're going to see their air yards per attempt soar. And, yes, that will lead to some turnovers. That's part of the gamble when you start, you know, attempting more low-percentage passes. But I also think it's going to create more explosion. It's going to get people out of the box and open things up for their backs. And I still think it's a solid enough defense. So, yeah, this will be there'll be some things available to Sean Payton that just haven't been really the last couple of years, and he's looking forward to taking advantage.
Wrapping up with Jason Lockefora, how quickly do we see Trey Lance starting in San Francisco?
I mean, I think you start seeing him on the field right away. Again, as long as his hand continues to come along and he can grip the ball and throw it properly. I mean, starting, it really will depend on how things go. I mean, Kyle Shanahan will be evaluating that process on a game-by-game and practice-by-practice standpoint. And if at some point he feels like the greater upside of Lance and the ceiling of Lance is just too delicious to ignore, then he'll make that switch. But they don't have a set date. I can't tell you when that date is. But there will be opportunities for Trey Lance to show his ability and show his worth from the first week he's available to play. And if he does the kind of things we saw in the preseason, then yes, I think there will be a changing of the guard at some point. It might end up being kind of like Miami and Tua last year where, you know, you kind of give it a month to see practices and games. And then even if the team's performing pretty well, and I think most people would say Miami was outperforming some expectations the first 6 weeks of last season, at some point the superior ceiling and the allure of what could be in a more dynamic with a more dynamic person running your offense will probably carry the day.
Last thing I'll ask you, Jason Lockefora, is always great with us from CBS Sports and also has a great afternoon show on The Fan in Baltimore. Would you be surprised if Deshaun Watson gets traded from now until the deadline?
I mean, assuming there is no closure, assuming there's no closure, assuming that you still have the criminal and the civil investigations ongoing, and the NFL is just kind of laying out until there's more information in that regard. then yeah, I don't think an owner steps up and makes that move and pays the kind of price you're going to have to pay, talking about five or six high draft picks to do that. I think in that case you might be looking at early 2022 at the earliest. Again, assuming that there is more information available by then.
JLC, thanks so much. I'm sure we'll be talking throughout the season. Appreciate it.
Sounds good, buddy. Have a good one.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.